One thing I want to say, thanks to Nathan. Sometimes we don't think about this when we pray for these prayer requests, but he mentioned something that should be on the heart of all of us, that if there's anyone that we have on our prayer list that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that ultimately that would be the greatest healing in their life, is the healing of that relationship that has been severed because of sin. And so I appreciate Nathan for actually pointing that out in prayer. And so Acts chapter 15, and as we begin, let's go ahead and pray for the word and for this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that you have shown us again in Christ, and I thank you, Lord, that we've been able to study and look through the book of Acts, and thank you for the things that we have learned and gleaned from your word. And Lord, I pray that this morning that will continue. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing for us in Christ and that salvation that you have provided, and just the ongoing work of Christ in our lives. We praise you. We lift you up on high. Lord, I ask that now that you give clarity of thought and mind as we go through your word. It's in Christ's name. So Acts chapter 15, and as Nathan read earlier, you can tell there's obviously a disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Last week we looked at a great debate, which was also another argument, argument of a different kind. But last week, I'm going to kind of go ahead and thumb through all of these. Last week it was the great debate, and it had to do with salvation. And how are we justified before God? Is it because of any works that we do, as in the case of Scripture last week? Does it have to do with circumcision for guys? Do they have to be circumcised? We have to fall under the Mosaic law and follow all of the quirks and ins and out of the Mosaic law? And the resolution for Paul and Barnabas was salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's what they stood upon, and that was the disagreement. So they took the disagreement to back to Jerusalem, to the leadership, and we call that the Jerusalem Council, if you want to get all technical about it. But they took it back to Jerusalem, took it before the apostles and some of the elders of the church, and brought that resolution, and they had arguments. So they had the resolution, they had arguments, people that were against it, people obviously who were for it, and the decision in the end was, it was by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that's what Paul said in the book of Ephesians. And so that was basically the decision. The decision also said, at the same time, you need to remember your brothers and sisters in Christ who are of the Jewish faith. Be cautious with what you do, how you act around them. And then what they said was, concerned the offerings and stuff that were done to those pagan idols and the worship that they did. And they said, you need to kind of stay away from that because your Jewish believers are really offended by those things. And stay away from those things. If you want to have any relationship with those Jewish believers, you might want to stay away from that because it's going to hinder your relationship. And so in order to bridge the gap between the two, they kind of gave that little stipulation there, was you need to remember who you're serving. You're serving God. You need to move away from that pagan idol worship that you had going on. And you need to move away from that and move away to worship of God. And so that was kind of the draw for that in that decision. And so we saw that last week, and we come into this week, and there is a great disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. And so the question is, well, why do we disagree? And I guess many of y'all can already kind of look around the room and understand why we disagree. We are not of the same size. We don't look the same. We don't act the same. We have different personalities. We think differently. Some of us are just opposite ends of some of the other people as far as personalities. And there's always going to be disagreements. There are always going to be things that we come up against. And one person has their opinions. Another person has their opinions and thoughts on things. Some of it has to do with how we were raised. Some of it doesn't have to do with that. It's just the little quirks that we picked up along in life that we like. And so we're different. The bottom line is we're different. We're different physically, emotionally, psychologically, mentally, biologically. We're different. And so last week there was a disagreement. That disagreement turned into a debate. But that disagreement was not personal. That disagreement was doctrinal. It was theological in nature. It had to do with salvation. This morning, the disagreement that Paul and Barnabas had was on a more personal level. This time, Paul disagreed with Barnabas, and that's when everybody should gasp. I say that because here are two men of faith who are, the pinnacle of somebody's faith in Christ. I mean, if you want to look at some people in the history of the church, it's Paul and Barnabas is who you will look at. And here these two people disagreed, and everybody's like, how in the world could they disagree? I mean, doesn't the Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct them? I mean, are they not these great men of faith who want to seek the Lord's desires in life? They're the pillars. They're the almost the cornerstones of Christianity. Do they not hear God? Can they not understand that what they're doing is wrong? This is not this disagreement was not something that affected one's relationship with God. It was something that affected their relationship with each other. And the question is, how are they going to solve that disagreement? How are they going to reconcile that disagreement? What are they going to do? What is their response going to be? So these two men, they disagreed on a personal or administrative level. It had to do with how Barnabas, Paul, and Mark related to each other. If you saw out there on the sign when you drove in, I simply put Barnabas wanted and Paul did not. You can't kind of get any more clear than that. Barnabas wanted it and Paul did not. And it wasn't just... this is my preference. This is what I want, and this is what I want over here. And there was no coming together. They disagreed. And so, what can we learn from their disagreement? And so, before we go into this answer, let's look at some of the details about this disagreement. As Nathan read through this, verses 36 through 41, there are some names that are mentioned, obviously Paul and Barnabas and Mark. So let's look at this in verse 36. It says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. And so after some time of ministering in Antioch, they had come back from that great debate. They brought back to the church in Antioch the good news of this resolution. And they ministered there in Antioch some more. Paul, felt the need to go and minister to those churches that they had been to. So they both agreed that they needed to go back to those areas that they had previously ministered to. Of course, this fits absolutely perfectly with their personalities. Barnabas was that of an encourager. He wanted to encourage people in the Lord. He wanted to see them grow and thrive in their relationship with God. And then, of course, Paul was this great teacher, strong in the faith. He desired to have people's relationship with God strengthened and deepened. And so so it fit perfectly with who they were, their personalities. But the problem came in verse 37 when it says, "Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark." And so the question is, who is John Mark? Who is Mark? Well, first off, Mark was Barnabas' cousin. If you go to Colossians chapter 4, you'll read that Mark is referred to as Barnabas' cousin. He was also the son of a lady named Mary. Mary and Mark opened up their house to believers. Earlier in the book of Acts, we saw that, how they opened up their house for people to come and pray. And we also see how earlier in Acts, when they first started, when Paul and Barnabas first started their missionary trip to this area, that they took Mark with them. And of course, that's when the problem developed, because Mark left Paul and Barnabas. But Mark briefly stayed with Paul and Barnabas. But what we sometimes kind of don't think of is Mark is also the person who wrote the Gospel of Mark. He wrote the Gospel of Mark. He wrote this in, probably A.D. 55, A.D. 59, somewhere in there, after this separation had already taken place. Mark wrote that. So it was after that, this episode here in the book of Acts. And so later Paul, he described Mark as a fellow worker, in which he actually asked Timothy at some point to bring Mark to him because he was useful. So we got to keep these things in mind. Also want us to keep in mind with some of these words. So as we read through the rest of this passage, it says, "But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work." So in verse 38, some of y'all may have it say, it says thought best. Some of y'all may have it translated kept insisting, or thought it wise, or maybe thought appropriate, or in this case did not think appropriate. The word there in the Greek has the idea of a preference based on work. So Paul's looking at the situation and Paul says, "Hey, listen, his history, the things that he's got going on, I don't count Mark worthy of going back with us on this trip to do this." So, Paul's looking at this from a different standpoint. He's not seeing this as an opportunity to encourage Mark. He's not seeing this as an opportunity to deepen and strengthen Mark's relationship. He's seeing this as an opportunity for us to be the ones that are strong in our faith, grounded and enriched in our relationship with Christ, to go and do that with other people. And he says, he's worthy of this. I don't think he's there yet. And Barnabas disagreed with him, obviously. Barnabas said, "I think he is to that point." And Paul says, "He's not to that point. I don't think he's worthy enough for this." And so they disagreed. So Paul said he thought it was not best. He didn't think it was appropriate. He thought it not wise for him to come. In verse 39, we continue to read, "And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus." That word, sharp disagreement, some of y'all may have maybe something to the effect of a sharp contentment, or there arose a, they became a sharp tension, opposites going on here. And that Greek word is a very strong word. That's the reason why in English we have to translate it into a kind of a phrase, because we don't have a word that adequately is strong enough to emphasize the difference of opinion between these two people. It was a sharp disagreement. It was a sharp contention. In other words, two sides were not budging. They were not moving. They were not compromising. I think that he should go. Paul says, I think he shouldn't go. And neither one of them were going to back down from the resolve. And so there was they strongly differed in their opinion. But in verse 40, I want us to draw this out, and we're going to come back to this later on. But in verse 40, it says, but Paul chose Silas and departed. And here's what I want us to remember. Having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And verse 41 says, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So now we have those things in mind. What can we learn from their disagreement? The first thing I want us to look at this morning is that disagreements should never stop the work of the ministry. Disagreements should never stop the work of the ministry. Verse 36, it starts off with ministry in focus. In verse 36, they started off, hey, listen, this is our goal. We want to go back to these churches. We want to minister to them. And did it stop there? No, because in verse 41, it ends with ministry in focus. Both of these individuals, even though they separated, it was not the end of the world. They continue to press forward for the ministry, for the gospel of Christ. And so it begins with a focus in the ministry. They both desired to see how the churches were bearing or how they were holding up. And if you look at the book of Galatians, which was written prior to the debate that had happened, Paul, I think, felt the need to go and visit these churches. He felt the need to go and see these churches and tell them about what the Jerusalem Council had determined. I want to strengthen your relationship with the Lord. And that was his whole desire, was to do that. And I think Barnabas wanted to do that as well. And so in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul wanted to convey this idea that he told them before, that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul and even Barnabas had a desire to help these believers understand that concept. So in verse 41, it ends with ministry in focus. Paul was accomplishing what he intended. He went to strengthen the churches. It says in verse 41, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. That's what he was doing. He went there and he accomplished what it was he had set out in verse 36 to do. He strengthened the churches. If you look into Acts chapter 16 and read those first five verses in chapter 16, you can see in verse 5 that the same thing is continuing. It says in verse 5 of chapter 16, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and they increased in numbers daily. So the focus that was started off in the beginning was carrying through. They didn't lose their focus. They didn't lose their focus. Matter of fact, if you read there in verse 5, it says, and they increased in numbers daily. It's a phrase that you find often in the book of Acts is something similar to that. What that means is that people were coming to faith in Christ. People who were once before, who had rejected that or had not heard that message, have now heard the message of Christ and what Christ has done for them and have placed their faith in Christ. The numbers were added to the church daily. But also Barnabas, he goes to Cyprus with Mark, and neither person left the work of the ministry. They both pushed forward despite their disagreement. Despite their disagreement. And unfortunately, how often do we see how minor disagreements in church causes church splits, causes relationships between people to crumble and part their way. And unfortunately, what happens, and I've seen this all too often in ministry, is that when that happens, often those people no longer stay involved in the ministry. They really depart. Not just separate themselves. They not just depart ways. They depart from the faith almost. They depart from the ministry. They back down and they're like, well, I won't be involved anymore. Maybe it was because they were hurt or whatever it was. But the problem is they lost focus on what the church is. They lost focus on what the church is. And Paul and Barnabas did not lose focus on that. They were not going to let this disagreement change the outcome of what they had set out to do, which was strengthen and deepen the relationship of believers. They said, no, that's still my goal. That's still the resolve that I have. We're going to keep doing that. Our disagreement should never stop the ministry of the church. But also, disagreements, these personal disagreements that we have, remind us that we're fallible. Remind us that we make mistakes. Remind us that we're not perfect. And the first thing I want us to understand is that God's choosing does not exempt us from mistakes. You know, Paul could have sat back and told Barnabas, I want you to understand, Barnabas, Christ met me on the road to Damascus, and he specifically chose me out to go and minister to these Gentiles. You need to listen to me. You need to listen to me. I'm chosen by God. Paul did not do that. That wasn't his place. If you remember back in Acts chapter 9, Paul had this great meeting with the Lord on the road to Damascus. The glory of the Lord shone around him. He, of course, was, had fallen to his knees. He was blinded. His life was changed. And we understand from that story in Acts chapter 9 that God was specifically pulling Paul out and saying, this is where I want you to go and this is what I want you to do. You're going to take the gospel of Christ. You're going to take this good news that can be found in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and I want you to take it to the rest of the world. Not to the Jewish community, but to the rest of the world. And here Paul, he's chosen by God. But it doesn't exempt him from clashing, from having this disagreements, from making mistakes in his ministry. If you had a litmus test for faith, Paul and Barnabas would be number 10. Barnabas could have spoken up and said to Paul in return, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be where you're at right now. I stood up for you, Paul. Barnabas could have said, I brought you before the apostles there in Jerusalem, and I stood up for you. Why can't you agree with me on this? He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Just because God chooses you does not put you in some bubble isolated from yourself and sin and the world. I think of Samson in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges. God chose to use him. And if we look back at the life of Samson, you'd scratch your head thinking, why in the world would God use somebody like that immoral man who was arrogant, self-centered as could possibly be? God chose to use him. And so just because God chooses you to do something does not put you in this isolated bubble thinking, I am without mistake. I am without flaw. So just because God brings you to a place does not mean that you are infallible. You can still make mistakes. Samson, of course, in the end, because of his arrogance and because of his lifestyle, he was beaten. He had his eyes plucked out. But yet, in the very end, he understood. He understood. As he stood there tied to the pillars of the building, and he realized the mistakes that he had made. And he asked for God to renew his strength and give him the strength that he had had before. And he pulled the pillars down on the building of the people who had beaten him. God used that man, but he wasn't without mistakes. Our personal relationship with God does not exempt us from mistakes. So not only just because we're chosen from, chosen by God, we also have to understand that our personal relationship with God does not exempt us from mistakes. Barnabas and Paul, they had an absolutely flourishing relationship with the Lord. And just as I said before, if you were to get that litmus test out and stick it in their water, it would come out shining bright. I mean, it would be the highest level that you would think of. Matter of fact, their relationship with the Lord could probably put most of us to shame, including myself. They were the pillars of faith. Just because they had such a strong relationship with the Lord did not mean that they were exempt from mistakes in life. And so just because you are close to God, it does not put you so far away from imperfection as to not be touched by it. I think of King David. King David, he was the second king of the people of Israel, and he was called a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart, but yet, if we look at his life, he committed adultery, he lied to cover up everything, and murdered in order to help cover up all of that. But just because he had a relationship with God did not exempt him from mistakes in life. But here's the thing. Because he had a relationship with God, realized his mistakes, he realized what he had done wrong, and he fell before the Lord and repented. Our personal relationship with God does not exempt us from mistakes. And then, the effectiveness of ministry does not exempt us from mistakes. If we wanted to compare ministries, if we wanted to compare churches today to what work Paul and Barnabas had done, for the most part, it would put most every church to shame. Paul and Barnabas, as they went to these different cities, people were coming to know Christ as their Savior. They were placing their faith and trust in what Christ had done for them. The effectiveness of Paul and Barnabas was amazing. Lives were being changed. God used them in amazing ways to bring glory to Himself. How often do we hear of division in the church? Even in the early days of the church, we see that division happened. Division happened over what we had just talked about last week in that great debate, how there were some people who said the men needed to be circumcised and people needed to follow the Mosaic law. There was a disagreement. There was division there. But also we see in Scripture later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, how some people followed Apollos, some people followed Paul, some people followed Peter, and then some people who were really religious, they said, well, we follow Christ. Right? Those really religious ones said, we follow Christ. It was division. It was division. Just because the ministry is being extremely effective does not mean there is division. But there's not division. We are sinful, fallible people. We make mistakes. We have different preferences and likes and dislikes and so forth. And so because of those things, it kind of sets us up for failure sometimes. If anything, these three areas should prompt us to pray for each other. It should prompt us to pray for each other. Pray for me and other church leadership. Pray for us. We need it. Because there are going to be times when we disagree. There's going to be times when we have those divisions. We are not exempt. Pray that we stay united. Pray that if there are any differences, that they're dealt with as to such a way to bring glory to God. And then pray that we stay focused on the ministry. That the goal that we start off with is the goal that we finish with. That we stay focused on the ministry. But more importantly, we should pray that throughout that situation, throughout whatever's going on, that people may come to know the Lord as their Savior. And why is that? Because of our last point. Personal disagreements can always be used by God. personal disagreements can always be used by God. Two strong groups are now involved in the ministry. These two men, they split up, and their deep relationship with the Lord can now be divided and sent to different areas, and God can use that. In the book of Acts, Luke doesn't record Barnabas' work with Mark. He carries on with the story of Paul. And the reason why he carries on with the story of Paul is because that's been the whole direction he's been going with practically from the start. It's how the work of the Lord goes from the Jews to the Samaritans to the rest of the world to the Gentiles. And so Luke carries that theme on because Paul is going to the rest of the world, to the Gentiles. So we don't see much more about Barnabas. In the rest of Scripture, we don't see much more about Barnabas. It doesn't mean that he fell off the map and stopped doing things. It just means the Scripture didn't stay focused on him. It stayed focused on Paul and his work to the rest of the world. But we have two groups, and God used their two strong opinions to bring about two strong teams. Of course, Barnabas stayed with Mark. Paul decided to bring Silas in, and Silas aided in Paul's ability to effectively advance the gospel and discipleship. Why? Because Silas was a Roman citizen. And he was also considered one of those New Testament prophets. He had a gift. He had an ability that God gave him. And that aided and helped Paul in his ministry. In future chapters, we're going to read about that. And we're going to understand how Silas played a part in the ministry with Paul. God used their separation to continue to proclaim Christ and to also disciple believers. But God also brought healing through this separation. I mentioned this earlier. In Philemon chapter 1 and verse 24, he calls Mark a fellow worker. You know, if there was such disagreement over Mark, and Mark hadn't changed, or you know, things hadn't been resolved, I don't think Paul would refer to him as a fellow worker. He probably would have left Mark out of the story anyway, but he didn't. Because he counted Mark believer in Christ and a fellow worker in the ministry. He had respect for Mark. He even requested in 2 Timothy for Timothy to bring Mark to him because he would be useful to him while Paul was in prison. But what of Barnabas? We read more about Paul and everything in Scripture, but what about Barnabas? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, Paul defended Barnabas' right to monetary compensation for working in the ministry. So Barnabas didn't fall off the scene. Barnabas stayed strong. He continued working in the ministry, and he counted Barnabas on the same level as himself. He deserves the same rights. He deserves the same treatment that you would treat Paul. And he was fighting for Barnabas on that level. Some would even say that their relationship was still so strong that when they left this disagreement that they had, that there really didn't need to be any kind of reconciliation because they already reconciled it when they separated. That was their reconciliation, just because they separated. Their relationship with each other was that strong. Remember earlier I said, let's remember verse 40. Let's remember verse 40. Verse 40 says, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. That's carrying over from also verse 38, where it talks about Barnabas took Mark with him when they sailed to Cyprus. And of course, Paul chose Silas and they departed. And both of those groups, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Regardless of the issue, regardless of what was going on, regardless of the result, other believers fully supported him. Other believers fully supported him. They were commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. If there was such a stark disagreement that they had no reconciliation, that they were at each other's throats, so to speak, wouldn't have recorded in Scripture that they commended them, that they said, "Lord, take care of them as they go out on their ministry." Even though they were separated, even the brothers, the believers there in Antioch, they said, "Hey, this is what God is doing. Let's let the Lord do His work." And then we go. Personal disagreement can always be used by God. Always be used by God. To kind of sum this up a little bit, God took these two people and showed us that we should never stop the work of the ministry because we disagree. I have seen churches fight and bicker over some of the silliest things. You've probably heard the stories of churches splitting over the color of the carpet or something like that, or what color the wall should be painted. And in some cases, that probably was true. But sometimes those things that we disagree over are not the color of the carpet or what the color of the wall should be painted. But regardless of what our disagreement is, we should not lose the focus of the ministry. Because it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about our Lord and Savior. Don't lose the focus on the ministry. Don't lose sight of who we're supposed to be working for. And Paul and Barnabas, they did not lose sight of that. We need to be reminded that just because the ministry may be going strong and just because it seems like I have a good relationship with the Lord does not mean that Satan is not working. Does not mean that we are now somehow isolated from the rest of the world and not influenced by this world. Because we are. We're influenced by ourselves. We're influenced by our own preferences and likes and dislikes. And sometimes we'll let those things take us over, so to speak. We need to remind ourselves that we are not infallible and that we need to humbly submit to the Lord just as King David did when he realized, "Hey, listen, I have sinned." He says, I'm a sinner, and I repent before you. We need to always remind ourselves that we are fallible. And then remind ourselves that just because we do disagree sometimes doesn't mean that God can't use those disagreements. God can use whatever He wants to, however He wants to, whenever He wants to. I think back in Joseph. And Joseph in the Old Testament had these dreams, and between Dad giving him the fancy coat of many colors and the fact that he had these dreams that kind of put him a little above everybody else, caused division between him and his brothers. His brothers sought to kill him. If they couldn't kill him, they at least wanted to get rid of him. God took that division and saved that family from famine later on. Joseph became the number two person in the kingdom of Egypt, right under Pharaoh. Nobody was higher than him except Pharaoh. God used that position, that disagreement between the two brothers put him in. God kept using him and kept using him. And so the bottom line is, when we do disagree, we need to let that disagreement hand it over to Him and say, Lord, I know we disagree about this. Regardless of our disagreement, use it. To the best of your ability, just use it and bring glory and honor to your name out of that disagreement. We all the time come up with issues in life. And the bottom line is, are we going to allow the Lord to use it to work and minister in the lives of the people around us? Or are we still going to contend and be selfish? The people here in Antioch, Paul and Barnabas, they're clashing, and they realize what did they need to do? They needed to commend it over to the Lord and give it over to Him. Let the Lord work and use the situation, because He can do so much out of it. And as we look here coming up in chapter 16 and chapter 17, and as we continue on, we're going to see how God took that disagreement and that division and still did marvelous work through Paul and Silas, and even eventually Timothy gets added into the mix. And so we'll be looking at that in the weeks and so forth ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what You have provided for us in Christ, and You have provided us hope, salvation. Thank You for that, Lord. We thank You for what You're doing for us each and every day. We ask, Lord, that You will strengthen us and encourage us, lead us, guide us, direct us. And Lord, we know that division will happen. We know that we'll disagree about things. Lord, I pray that we will stay united in one thing, and that is the ministry, the work, Your work of proclaiming the gospel, of discipleship, of ministering to people around us. That when we have disagreements and we have divisions and so forth, that we don't do like so many do and truly separate ourselves from everything, including You, Lord. Help us, Lord, to stay strong. Help us, Lord, to remember You and remember the fact that we are not perfect, and that a lot of times our disagreements come out of the fact that we are not perfect. And Lord, remind us of that. Help us to stay humble to You. Help us, Lord, to remember who You are in our lives, and that, Lord, regardless of any outcome, You can use those things to bring glory and honor to You. We do praise You. We do lift You up on high. It's in Christ's name. Real quick, before we close out in the song, I'm just going to kind of do some announcements here. Let's see here. Noah and Ellie, go to my office and get that special treat there. I'll explain the special treat. So if you're here this morning, you're in luck, okay? If you're not here this morning, sorry. By the time word gets around, my kids will probably have the rest of this eaten, or ate. I'm not good with English. So we have moon pies. And have y'all heard of moon pies? You heard of moon pies? Okay. So one thing about moon pies is they're made in Chattanooga, Tennessee.